ஓம் வசுதேவசுதம் தேவம் கம்சசரணோரமர்த்தனம் தேவகீ பரமானந்தம் கிருஷ்ணம் வந்தே ஜகத்குரும். சர்வோபநிஷதோ காவோ தோக்தா கோபாலநந்தனஹ பார்த்தோ வத்ஸ சுதீர் போக்தா துக்தம் கீதாம்ருதம் மஹத். மூகம் கரோதி வாசாலம் பங்கும் லங்கயதே கிரிம். யத் கிருபா தமஹம் வந்தே பரமானந்த மாதவம். வி ஆர் டீலிங் வித் தி சிக்ஸ்த் சாப்டர் ஆஃப் தி பகவத்கீதா கால்ட் பை டூ நேம்ஸ், தியான யோகா ஆர் ஆத்ம சம்யம யோகா. திஸ் இஸ் தி கீ டு சக்சஸ் இன் எனி ஃபீல்ட் ஆஃப் லைஃப். ஸோ நவ் இன் அவர் லாஸ்ட் கிளாஸ் வி டிஸ்கஸ்ட், இஃப் வி வாண்ட் டு பி ஃப்ரீ ஃப்ரம் தி ட்ராமல்ஸ், ஃப்ரம் தி த்ரால்டம் ஆஃப் தி மைண்ட். மைண்ட் மீன்ஸ் வாட்? Thoughts. Thoughts are the ones which either are bind us or which liberate us. And in this world also, there are two types of thoughts are there. Positive thoughts and negative thoughts. Both in worldly life, both worldly life as well as spiritual life. Positive thoughts are there, negative thoughts are also there. For example, some people do not believe in God and spirituality. But among these so-called worldly people, there are people who are very positive about everything. They look upon everything in a positive light and there is very happy people. Negative people are always very unhappy people in the world itself. Even if they have got it, they go on grumbling. It is okay, but a little better, it could have been a little better, like that. Similarly, spiritual life also, there are people, very hopeful people, hopeless people. This is beautifully brought out by Sri Ramakrishna's parable of two yogis meditating under two trees. One yogi, very negative, he wanted only God. How many times should I need to be born, reborn? Only one more time, then God will come. Oh my God! Whole life from childhood I have been practicing spiritual disciplines. This itself is most painful duty in the whole world. Now you are telling me that I have to be born just once more. Both yogis want only God. But this person is very negative type. Simply, I want to attain liberation and get the hell out of it. For the other person, it doesn't matter how many times. Suppose God says, you will never get mukti, eternally you have to be reborn. What do you think? He will be even more joyous because he is getting great happiness by just thinking about God. So that is the type of mentality we want to attain to, positive things. At least in worldly life, let us think about positive. There is a small story. There was a school, there was a drawing master. He had this type of mentality. Everything he will look in a most positive way. So one day he gave an assignment to the pupils, you draw something. And he was going and saying, oh, you drew the eye very nicely, you drew the ears very nicely, you drew this very nicely, like that he went on. Then he came to a girl. There is nothing to be praised for. But he was a man who used only to praise. So he said, your pencil is beautiful. This is, we have to develop this kind of very positive attitude. Whatever be the circumstance, there will be something very good about it. We have to develop certain type of mentality for success in any field of life. Einstein was once asked, if God appears before you, what would you ask for? You know, have you read about it? You know what he asked for? If God appears, I say, give me a small room and a table, a stack of white paper and some pencils. No one to disturb me. No one to disturb me. Because he was accustomed to think deeply. Hours and hours together he can think on the same subject. Do you think otherwise he just came to all these discoveries just like us? No, he had that tremendous quality. Every great person has that kind of quality within himself. Greatness means he has isolated his mind, lifted his mind from so many distracting things. Otherwise, success or greatness will not be coming at all. By the very definition, greatness means three things. Greatness means three things. What are those three things? A definite goal, concentration, self-discipline. Without this, nothing can be attained. So in our last class, we discussed a yogi who wants to control his mind, and a controlled mind is his greatest friend. An uncontrolled mind is our greatest enemy. Certain type of mental attitude should be there. It must be free from three things: raga, dvesha, and egotism. Egotism is subtle. Egotism is a concept. It is not a percept. You know that in our mentality there are two things. One is called concept. Another thing is called percept. Whatever we perceive, experience, is called a percept. For example, you are looking at me, you are looking at a table, you are looking at everything. That is called perception. And in your mind, there is a crystal clear picture of this perception. This is an example of perception. Seeing the world with name, form, qualities, prayojana, etc. There is another thing called concept. A concept has no form. A name is there, but there is no form is there. For example, friendship. Are you friendly with everybody? Yes. Are you a loving person? Do you have love? Yes. You show me. Do you have a pen? Yes. Show me. You bring out the pen. Do you have love? Yes. Show me. How will you show? Love, friendship, service, anger, enmity. These are called concept. Concept means the idea is there without a corresponding object. So it is like electricity. You can't see the electricity. Can you touch the electricity? Tell me. Can you touch the electricity? Most people's answer is, yes, if I touch a live wire, that is called touch. It is not touching electricity. It is touching a wire through which electricity is flowing, and you are not touching electricity directly. It is the effect of the electricity manifested through a wire. Concept cannot be directly experienced. Always it is experienced indirectly. If you understand this idea, extend it to God. If anybody says, does God exist? Yes. Show him to me. That's what Swami Vivekananda said. You can't show God, but you can infer God through the effects. Can you see light? Most people, you know, they don't know this basic answer. We don't see light. We infer light by getting the knowledge of things crystal clear. Is it not? We require a little bit of subtle type of mind to understand these concepts. Can you see darkness? You can experience darkness through inference. What is the inference? If I can't see anything, that is called darkness. If you see something, that is called light. You are not seeing light, you are not seeing darkness. What are you seeing really? The effects of light as well as darkness. This simple idea people don't understand. So similarly, am I seeing you? No, you are not seeing me. Am I seeing you? No, I am not seeing you. Then what is it that when I see you, I see the mind, the reflection of an object in my mind? That is what I am seeing. Are you seeing a cricket match sitting in front of a TV? Are you seeing or not? Are you seeing cricket match directly or indirectly? If I phone you, what are you doing? What is your answer? I am watching a cricket game. You are not watching directly. You are watching, but you are not watching directly. The concept is there. These are all concepts we are talking about. What is it? Suhrut. There are people divided into several categories. Suhrut means well-wisher. Mitra means what? He is your well-wisher, but not pure well-wisher. Because if he scratches your back, you also have to scratch his back. That is called friend, mitra. Udasina. There are people who care in either way. They neither like you nor dislike you. Then madhyastha. There are people, they don't take notice of, at least udasina person takes notice but doesn't do anything. This madhyastha, only when his purpose is good, like a matchmaker. Dveshya. There are some people who are very much attached to you. They think only of you. There are people who criticize you. What are they doing? They're meditating upon you. You have become a god to them. And the more they hate you, the more they are. And then they become like us. Because what is meditation? Upasana. To become like the object of meditation. If you come to know about that person, you meditate upon that person. Then you become like him. He is hating you. You become like him. So what will be you be? You end up hating yourself. This is madveshya. Bandhushu. There are relatives are there. These are, then there are sadhus are there. Sadhus means a person who looks upon everything as God. His own body is God. His own mind is God. And he look, whatever he comes into contact with, whatever he experiences is nothing but God. He is called sadhu. Then papeshu, sinful people. So they also experience, but they are completely selfish people. Because for selfish people also, unselfish people are very much necessary. Selfish people depend upon unselfish people. Otherwise, how are they going to become selfish people? And sinful people require meritorious people for committing their sins. Otherwise, they will be helpless, you know. And they can't be, if you don't know that there is somebody whom we can rob, who are you going to rob? So, you are partly responsible for that person's becoming a bad person. That's why get mukti earlier. Then you will make less number of people sinners. All these varieties of people are there. But now you have to understand something. We are also all these people towards somebody. All these bhavas, we accepting a sadhu, all of us also cherish, entertain this kind of relationship. We like some people. We are friends to some people. We are indifferent to some people. We actively become jealous of some people. All these bhavas are there. At least they were there, if not now, in the past. These are various stages of the development and we have to go through. What is the ultimate goal? We have to become among them what? Sadhus. Sadhu. We have to become sadhu. Samabuddhihi. Whatever be the object we encounter, especially human beings, we must not react in all these ways. React only in one particular way. What is that particular way? Sama Buddhi. He is God. I'll just give a small illustration. One day, Hajra disturbed Sri Ramakrishna. You know what he said? That all your visions are hallucinations. Sri Ramakrishna got to very agitated. Why? Why did he get agitated? Because Sri Ramakrishna used to live in two modes. The child mode and the divine mode. When he is in the divine mode, he knows everything and he is his divine mother, he becomes one with the divine mother and he becomes a guru or teacher. When he is in the mood of a child, just like you call a child bad child, and that person will be disturbed. Holy Mother also you can see. There was one young boy who was helping Holy Mother prepare roti. And he was just a new person. So he said, I don't know how to make roti. Roll the roti. And somebody showed him, you do like that. And he was a very artistic person. He was preparing very beautiful. Then somebody remarked, Ma, Tuma roti de bichri lagche. Your roti is, the rotis you are preparing. This, look at this boy, how nicely he is preparing round and then uniform type of roti. Mother God, I will not prepare from today onwards. I have been preparing for the last 70 years and this fellow comes today and you are telling me that you don't know how to prepare rotis like. Can this be the divine universal mother? What is that? She is the universal mother, but she is in a child's mood, not childish, child's mood, because her love for him never diminishes like a mother. We must develop samabuddhihi visishyate. We must develop. And if we do not develop, we are not going to go any further. This is a fact of life. Why? Because if we are affected by any action from anybody, then we will be a complete slave to that. Any Tom, Dick and Harry can disturb our serenity, our calmness, our peaceful mood. Then we are worse than children. We have to develop it. Divine Mother was manifesting through them in these two moods. Because when a person realizes God, there is no question of my doing something special. Like a drop of water, if once it merges in the ocean, after that again fill up that utensil with the sea water, then that old drop has dropped completely. That's why there is a beautiful Sanskrit shloka, different rivers coming from different directions, with different colors, different tastes. Once they reach the ocean, nama rupe vihaya syandama yatha nadyah syandamanah nama rupe vihaya, they give up their name. Ganga, Yamuna, you can't call this is Ganga, this is Yamuna. What do we call now? Ocean, only ocean. They give up everything. Like that, before realization, there is a specified individuality. After realization, there is no individuality. The question of I will assume and I will live like this doesn't arise. God manifests through their bodies and minds, and he plays. And these two moods are seen. In some people, other moods are available. What moods are available? Some realized souls are like Jadas. Some people are like Balas. That is said in the Vivek Chodamani. Balavat, Jadavat, Pishachavat, Unmadavat, Panditavat. Oh, like a Pishacha. One sadhu came to Dakshineswar. Even beggars did not allow him to sit by their side and eat. He had to go to refuge heap and then share food along with the dogs. It is not they keep, it is God plays through them. In Sri Ramakrishna and Holy Mother, these two moods are whatever, divine mood and child's mood. Yes, Golapma used to control. Holy Mother used to live in fear of Golapma because loud voice, you know. But when the occasion demanded, yes, Mother behaved in a different. Towards the robber, how did she behave? And towards Harish, how did she behave? And towards many people, she behaved in a different way, very firm. It all depends upon the what circumstances they are in. So this Hajra disturbed Sri Ramakrishna. He was in a child's mood. It's all your hallucinations. So what did Sri Ramakrishna do? He was really a child. He went to the hallucination. Hajra called Mother Kali as a hallucination. Sri Ramakrishna straight went to this hallucination and questioning, are you hallucination or are you real? And the hallucination, from the Hajra's point of view, replied, no, I am real, I am not a hallucination. But then, how did Mother reply? She said one thing, very important for us to take note of it. If what you are experiencing is a hallucination, how come they are tallying with facts? Understand? Tomorrow, this event will happen. Tomorrow, these persons will come. If hallucination means it won't happen. A madman is just talking rubbish. That is not going to happen. But here is a, Sri Ramakrishna says, something happens. The illustration also, I think we gave. One day, Sri Ramakrishna, one afternoon, he was talking with devotees. Suddenly, he went into an ecstatic state and he came back. And then he proclaimed, in my bhava, I have seen a sannyasi. The devotees were certainly not sannyasins, and they were all wondering, what is he talking about? And after 1 hour, one man entered. He says, an ordinary person. He entered there and he introduced himself. My name is Mr. Mishra and I was a Hindu. I fell in love with Jesus Christ and I became voluntarily adopted to Christianity. And then he said, I have renounced the world. I am a monk, though I am not outside, I am putting lay dress, but inside I am putting only this ochre cloth. And he opened his coat, and then he then the other devotees understood that whatever Sri Ramakrishna experiences is nothing but pure truth. Who knew? There was no SMS from a sannyasi, I am coming after 1 hour. But Sri Ramakrishna knew not only what is going to happen that day, what is going to happen to him in next year, next century. That's why they are called prophets. Prophet of the new age. Rama Rula calls prophets. Or what is a prophet in Christianity? Those who could foresee the future. Sri Ramakrishna, through Swami Vivekananda, declared, I have given food for 1,000 years. Somebody asked me the question, is there going to be a third world war? I said, no, there is no third world war now. How do you know? Because Swami Vivekananda must know better than anybody. If there is a third world war, then how could he declare, I have given food for 1,000 years? Because if there is a third world war, there would be no 1,000 years. I am very sure. This is the mentality throughout Gita, throughout Gospel. This is what Sri Ramakrishna calls live like a maid servant, means all these things are employed here. Sri Ramakrishna's teachings is only echoing what Bhagavad Gita is already telling us. And we come at in the 10th mantra verse also, Yogi yunjita satatam atmanam rahasi sthitaha ekaki yata chittatma nirashihi aparigraha. Yogi should always try to concentrate his mind, retiring into solitude and living alone, having subdued his mind and body and got rid of his desires and possessions. This is what Sri Ramakrishna's third commandment. Now and then go into solitude and practice intensely. Put your mind only on God and say, you feel there is nobody else excepting me and God. Yatishant Maharaj used to say this very often. When you sit for meditation, tell firmly to yourself, O mind, during this time, and no other thought should come. Me and God, nobody else. Me and God, nothing else should come. We have to develop that consciously. I should not think. We know that we should not think, but we have to affirm it firmly. That during this period, 15 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever it is, I don't want to think anything else because this is my time and I am alone with God. This is called solitude. And then he says, you know, yogi, one who wishes to be yogi. Here, this word yogi is used in two meanings. A person who had become perfect, he is called yogi. But we are not talking here a person who has reached the goal. We are talking about a person who is striving to become a yogi. Yunjita means should strive constantly. That's why it says satatam. There is not 1 second's gap should be there. Then how he should do it? Rahasi sthitaha. Rahasi means he should not make public. I am a spiritual aspirant. Look here. I am doing so much of japam, so you all have to bow down to me and bring pranami to me. This is not rahasi, means nobody should know. Ramakrishna used to say, a sattvika devotee, when he meditates, nobody knows at night he is meditating. Perhaps he has got a torn dress and a old house which needs repair, and he doesn't, it's just a very basic things, but he is not worried. Rahasi sthita, because spirituality is a relationship of the individual soul to God individually. Nothing to do with public.
Atmanam yunjita ekaki
means alone. What does that mean? This has got two meanings. Ekaki means alone. Alone means, really speaking, we are born alone or with somebody else? We die alone or with somebody else? And we eat alone or with somebody else? Yes, we can eat with 1,000 people. But every person has to eat alone He has to eat what suits the person. He also digests. Will anybody else digest for us? Absolutely no. Whatever we do you sleep alone or do you sleep with somebody? Alone. Do you dream alone or is there something called a common dream? There is no common dream at all. Every person, if we are four people here, all our dreams are completely different. Each one of us are ekaki. We are born alone. We also travel alone. We also become one with God alone. Nobody is going to accompany us even in the simplest things. And that is why I think it was Whitehead who defined what is spirituality. It is journey of the alone to the alone. That's all. This is the fact. Yogi, aspiring spiritual aspirant, always he must strive in secret, because other people can ridicule, can criticize, can expect something, so many things. So he must do it in secret. Ekaki, he must know that I am alone, nobody can help me. Yatachitatma, he must observe his mind, then all this striving should be done through the mind. Spiritual practice is primarily through the mind. The body is plays very little role there. Yatachitatma, then nirashihi, he must give up all expectations of this worldly nature. Ashi means what? Expectation, hopes. He must give up all hopes of. But what hope? Should he give up hopes of God realization, spiritual progress only? With regard to worldly things. Because if I am expecting worldly things, my desire to God will be divided, shared to that extent. If my desire for worldly objects is 50%, my desire for God will be only 50%. If I want to, but God will not allow himself to come to that kind of person. Because he is God is full of jealousy, an embodiment of jealousy. Only I will be there, nobody else will be there. If there is somebody, even this much, I refuse to come there. That is why God is infinity, cannot enter into finiteness. Akhanda cannot enter into khanda. And then aparigraha, you know, one of the five yamas, aparigraha. What is parigraha means acceptance. Aparigraha means non-acceptance. Because the rule is, if I accept something, then I also have to give it. And it affects me. The moment it is more a mental condition than a physical something. If a beggar expects from me so much and I give only this much, he will be totally disappointed. Parigraha means different meanings are there. Expectations. The first thing that is, it is impossible to live without parigraha. So many things we are receiving from so many people. Even if we think we are self-dependent, somebody is cooking for us, somebody is manufacturing something, somebody is running the taxi or this. If you may be hiring a taxi, but that person, you don't know what is his condition, how much he is suffering. But he can't go on expressing his feelings to you, that we cannot understand. That it is impossible to live without parigraha, expectation. Survival itself is impossible without expecting anything. Then what is the meaning of it? There are several meanings. One meaning is, you receive what you require, not a little bit more. Nag Mahashaya is an embodiment of this example. All these examples are coming to my mind. We understand this shloka better. Nag Mahashaya was a great homeopathic doctor. And there was a rich person who had 8-year-old daughter. And that rich person went to several famous doctors. Nobody could help his daughter. So he came to know about Nag Mahashaya and requested him to treat his daughter. And Nag Mahashaya treated. Within a few days, she became absolutely fine. Because the homeopathic medicine alone is not the point. The point is, his spirituality, with his blessed hands, he gave the medicine. The greatness of this Nag Mahashaya was, he had intuition. He was a very holy person. And when naturally when he gives, there is nothing called failure. Of course, you know, prarabdha also works. But he had that great power. He, within a few days, he cured. The rich man was immensely grateful. Last day, he called Nagmahashaya in last visit, and he went inside, brought a big mute bundle of gold coins and placed it in the hands of Nagmahashaya. And Nagmahashaya, he did not accept. He said, no, I do not want this. The man thought that Nagmahashaya was expecting more. So he went inside happily, doubled the bundle and brought. Then Nagmahashaya folded his hands and said, sir, the cost of homeopathic medicine is few annas. The cost of visiting my visits to your daughter is only 5-6 visits. It is this much. The whole thing comes, I think, 3 rupees or 4 rupees like that. I will not accept anything more than this. This is called aparigraha. Because he knows that's what he will be charging. In many other cases he treated, not only he gives medicine freely. When somebody gave one costly shawl, he simply gave it there to that patient, a poor patient who was shivering and did not have anything. That was the type of person in Nagmahashaya. This is a beautiful example of aparigraha. Extreme aparigraha. Sri Ramakrishna was advised by his physicians that he should take the juice of 1 lemon every day. Near Dakshineswar, there was a small garden. There were plenty of lemon trees. Sri Ramakrishna made arrangement that he will pick up 1 lemon from the owner of that garden. Nobody would have cared for lemons. So many lemons would fall down. But Sri Ramakrishna was particular about truthfulness. If he takes, it is called stealing. Modern world, plagiarizing. You go to internet, you go to YouTube, and then you download everything that doesn't belong to you. Nothing belongs to you. So this is what we are all considering. What is our justification? Everybody does it, I also do it. Everybody does it, it's sinless. Only one person does it, it is very sinful. What logic, you know? Beautiful logic is there. Everybody is following the Western footsteps. And 40% of the Western people are mad, insane, so mentally sick. So we are also 40% mentally sick. Anyway, aparigraha means it is impossible to live in this world without receiving. One meaning of aparigraha is, first meaning, receive whatever is absolutely necessary. Second is, you have to return back. If you don't return, it is called parigraha, accept. If you return back, it is, you return in whatever form. If somebody gives you money, if you are capable, give money. Somebody gives you knowledge, you give back in the form of knowledge. And if you cannot give in the form of knowledge, you can pray for them, you can do japam for them, you can do lot of things for them. I will tell you something, you know, we have to be extremely grateful to our parents, whatever they be. Because our very existence is possible because of them. And they may be alive and they might have passed away. Some of us who are old, their parents have definitely passed away, either one parent or two parents or whatever it is. But we can never get rid of their debt. This is called, in Sanskrit language, Pitru Putru Rina. What can we do? And maybe there are people alive. They don't need anything from you in a physical way. They are quite capable of taking care of themselves. They have sufficient food, sufficient housing, everything. We can do japam, pray for them, or do japa. If you are initiated person, do at least a minimum of 108 and then offer it at the feet of the Lord, saying, O Lord, result of this japa should go to my parents, whether they are alive or not alive, it doesn't matter. Let them come to your lotus feet. If any Hindu doesn't do it, he is a very ungrateful person. So long as we are able to do japa for ourselves, we should be able to do it. And this is the best way of getting rid of some of the debt. Never we can get rid of fully. Parigraha. Sometimes we give more than we can take it. How? If he is a sannyasi, what can he do? He can say adhyayana and adhyapana. I am taking class for you. This is a jnana yajna. I know, hopefully, slightly better than you. Therefore, whatever little I know, I am trying to convey it to you. And you are giving me so many things. So, I can take what I need and I must give what I can give. But the real meaning of aparigraha means I will not depend upon anyone else excepting God. That should be the, if someone is giving also, is God only is giving me in the through the medium of the other people. This every spiritual aspirant, and this attitude should develop. I do not want to receive unnecessarily. Otherwise, to receive without giving back ungratefulness, to receive more than we need is greediness. And if we do not return back, we will be forced to return back in this life or next life, somewhere or the other. Yes, this is people don't understand it. Holy Mother went to the other extreme. It is very interesting fact to know. You know, she used to say, supposing there is a butcher and he bought a cow and he is dragging the cow towards the butchering house. And the, somehow, you know, the animals know it, intuit it, that we are going to be killed. They resist. I don't know whether you have seen some of the people, they put the cows, tie their legs and then stretch their this thing. The look at the face of that, the eyes of that cow, have you ever seen? Most pathetic, most suffering, helpless. If somebody is tying like that and is about to cut, and I know that I am going to be cut slowly, slowly, what would be the expression of my face and eyes? You can clearly see that, and I heard that pigs are extremely intelligent, they know that. I think every animal knows it. Every animal loves its own life very dearly. There is also another fact that is coming forward. Even at least before they are killed, they become aware that somebody is going to kill. That brings a very violent reaction within them, a natural reaction. And that brings about a lot of chemical changes in their body. And if anybody consumes that meat, then it is going to bring about very adverse reactions in the body. But, you know, we have to carry on until that time. Until that sense really dawns in our mind. Forcibly, of course, there is no point. We must have that feeling. Then automatically many undesirable habits will drop off themselves.
Yogi yunjita satatam atmanam rahasi sthitah ekaki yathachittatma nirashihi aparigraha. A yogi should always try to concentrate his mind, retiring into solitude and living alone, having subdued his mind and body and got rid of his desires and possessions. Then he is giving certain hints how a person should sit. These are very commonsensical rules. One commonsensical rule is the seat must be, first of all, it should not be up and down. It should not be moving. You know, there are some kind of seats or cushions are there. The nature of that cushion is, if you move this way, it will go down. And it will also make some squeaky noises. So never use that kind of cushion which is giving you this kind of things. Is and then the three parts of the body should be very straight. What are these three parts? The back, the neck and the head. Simply the explanation is, if we sit straight, the lungs are freed from any of those crookedness. And then we are able to breathe in deeply much more oxygen than we usually do. And much of our mind and our breathing technique and our lungs are interconnected. That is why pranayama is advocated to, it somewhat helps the mind also attain quietness. You try it. Yatishan Maharaj always used to say, do a few minutes of rhythmic breathing to make your mind calm and quiet.
whenever you want to sit for japa and meditation. This is very easy. And then the seat should be, in essence, what he is trying to tell. Three things he said. First of all, it should be a kind of grass. And in Hindu belief, this is called a particular type of grass, darbha. It is very spiritual. Don't ask what is the reason. Just like tulasi is considered sacred, bilva is considered sacred, darbha grass is considered as sacred. Spread it evenly. Over that, there may be some kind of insects, etc. To prevent that one, spread one deer skin. But for this purpose, you don't go on hunting for a deer. There are some animals which you die naturally. When you get that kind of skins, then you get it cleaned. And then this is a belief that is very good for meditation. I don't see any special merit in it, because in the olden days, many rishis and munis, they used to get dead animals and they found it very useful. And tiger skin, etc. Any skin, you place it on the darbha. And after that, you spread a small piece of clean cloth, because even the hairs of some of these dried skin might prick you also. That means anything likely to cause a disturbance to the body also disturbs the mind. So try to avoid it. Then the Lord is telling the asana, the seat for meditation, should not be in a very high place, especially in the beginning of meditation, because the first obstacle is laya. Laya means sleep. Sleep means if you are, you know, in the first floor and there is no preventive wall, then likely that there would be problem for you and others. Therefore, it should not be a high place. It should not be some dungeon like that, low place, because there may be insects, there may be animals, it may be wet, and it is not very pleasant place. It should be neither too high nor too low. We are not talking about the asana. We are talking about the place where asana is kept, placed. It is in the beginning, it should be an even place where there is no danger. Even if somebody falls asleep also, it'll be safe, especially in the middle of the road where there is busy traffic. Don't go on sit and then try to practice. Or a vehicle which is moving very fast, you sit there. Or a train, and you know, there are so many people will be sitting on the top of the coach boxes. And if you happen to be a spiritual aspirant, first of all, you should not get up there. And secondly, you should not never try to meditate there. And that is very dangerous also. All these things is telling. Then keep the mind very, very steadfast. Concentration should be there. Then for that, the thoughts have to be controlled. And the movements of the body are also to be completed. You should be controlling the movements of the body. But what happens when the body, the mind knows, when the body becomes quiet, that is the time to go to sleep. So sometimes it is better to be a little bit restless rather than, otherwise the mind understands, this person wants me to go to sleep. That should be avoided, but not for long time. This is how a person has to strive for a long time with all sincerity and with one purpose, Atma Vishuddhaye, for the sake of purifying the mind. The first part of spiritual practice is not to attain God, but spiritual journey progresses in three stages. The first stage is to get rid of the negative, all the negative samskaras. The second stage is to acquire all positive samskaras. The third stage is to go beyond all these things. Now, the yoga system, eightfold way. These few shlokas, they are dealing with this Ashtanga yoga. The very first two steps, what is the very first step? Yama. Yama means restraint. Restraint means getting rid of negative qualities. Niyama means acquiring positive spiritual qualities like Shaucha, Santosha, Tapaha, Swadhyaya, Ishvara, Pranidhana. This trick most people do not know. Yama means getting rid of unspiritual qualities. Niyama means acquiring positive spiritual qualities. Only on this firm foundation, there are other three are there. These two, another four are there. Asana, pranayama, pratyahara and dharana. Asana means ability to sit without movement, at least of the physical body. Then comes mind. Then pranayama helps to some extent. Then the ability to withdraw the mind when our mind goes somewhere. And obviously it goes where our interests lie. The ability to withdraw that. And then the ability to fix it on what we need to fix it. Because in the beginning, our interest may be different and our goal may be totally different. For example, for a student who wants to pass first class, he might like to watch cricket or some movie, whereas his real purpose is to master his subject and to pass the examination brilliantly. It takes time. But we must have that self-discipline. Self-discipline means these two, consists of these two qualities. The ability to withdraw, from which we should not waste our time, energy, and the ability to fix it on something which is our goal, which can help us to move towards goal. So four things after acquiring yama and niyama, four things: asana, pranayama. Then pratyahara means the ability to withdraw the mind from undesirable thoughts. And dharana means the ability to concentrate, to fix the mind on that which is very useful. Then only this dharana matures into dhyana. So what is dhyana? It is only I am there and the subject of my goal is there and nothing else is there. Me and God, me and my goal, that's all. The last step is called samadhi. Samadhi means what? There would be absolutely no distinction between the subject and the object. But this is a natural development. We say, why all these things? Straight away, I will enter into samadhi. It's not going to happen. This is the burden of what the Lord wants to say. Shuchau deshe pratishthapya sthiram asanam atmanaha. Natyuchritam, natinicham, chailajinam, kushottaram. That is to say, in a clean spot. Why clean spot? Because if it is dirty spot, the smells also can, it's a rotten smell are coming. Some decomposing smell is coming. Not only that, even good smells also we have to be. Good smell means what? That way I am sitting for meditation. I have not tasted onion pakoda for a long time. And suddenly, beautiful frying onion smell is wafting across the street. Where do you think my mind will be? Because we think that not only nasty smells, naturally they will disturb our mind. But more important is, most of us are attracted by the smells and tastes. And mostly by the smell. Good food means what? You know, basmati rice. How do you know? Because it has got a very, very fragrant smell is there. Garland, fragrant smell. Enter into a temple. What smell do you get? Beautiful kapoor smell and incense also will be there. All these things evoke in us a particular association. Therefore, anything that distracts us from thinking of God should be carefully avoided. This is a clean place. Then, sthiram. The asana should be firm. Atmana. Natyuchritam. Neither too high, natinicham, nor below. Then, chaila ajina kusha uttaram. So, darbha. Then, ajina means the skin of a deer or tiger, etc. And then chaila means cloth, ajina means skin, and uttaram means darbha, etc. So this first form, this one, thick, then after that is skin, after that a piece of cloth, tatra, in that, ekagram anakritva, making the mind one-pointed, yata chitta indriya kriya, not only the thought should be controlled, indriya kriya, also that means the ఐ షుడ్ నాట్ బి డార్టింగ్ అండ్ వీ షుడ్ నాట్ లుక్ హియర్ అండ్ దేర్. ఉపవిశ్య ఆసనే, హ్యావింగ్ సాట్ డౌన్ ఇన్ దట్ ఫర్మ్, యుంజాత్ వన్ మస్ట్ స్ట్రైవ్ యోగం ఆత్మవిశుద్ధయే. దెన్ హౌ టు మేక్ ది బాడీ సమం కాయ శిరోగ్రీవం, ధారయన్ అచలం స్థిర, సంప్రేక్ష నాసికాగ్రం స్వం దిశశ్చాన్ అనవలోకయ. హీ షుడ్ సిట్ ఫర్మ్ హోల్డింగ్ హిస్ బాడీ నెక్ అండ్ హెడ్ ఎరెక్ట్ అండ్ స్టిల్ అండ్ గేజ్ స్టెడ్ ఫాస్ట్లీ అట్ ది టిప్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ నోస్ వితౌట్ లుకింగ్ అరౌండ్. సో వాట్ ఈస్ దిస్ గేజింగ్ అట్ ది టిప్ ఆఫ్ ది నోస్? ఇఫ్ యూ క్లోజ్ యువర్ ఐస్ యువర్ మెడిటేషన్ విల్ బి వెరీ సూన్ విల్ బి వెరీ డీప్. దట్ షుడ్ బి అవాయిడెడ్ ఇఫ్ యూ గో ఆన్ ఓపెనింగ్ యువర్ ఐస్ ఫుల్లీ దెన్ యూ విల్ బి డిస్ట్రాక్టెడ్ బై వేరియస్ things. It should neither completely open nor completely close. Not even half close, but I will be looking who is coming and who is going. That also should not be there. So if I do like this, it means like this. Notice you like this. That means I will not notice anything. So it helps us to keep a little bit awake. That's what he is telling. The body, the back and the neck and the head must be kept in a straight way and achalam, without moving any part of it, and looking at the tip of the nose. That means not looking outward, not closing the eyes, not completely opening, not looking at anything, but only that much so that we can keep awake. Anavalokayam prashantatma vigatabhi brahmachari vrate sthitah మన సంయమ్య మచ్చిత్త యుక్త ఆసీత మత్పర. ప్రశాంతాత్మ, ది మైండ్ బికమ్ అబ్సల్యూట్లీ సెరీన్. ట్రై విగత భీ, దేర్ షుడ్ బి నో థాట్ ఆఫ్ ఫియర్. బికాజ్ ఇఫ్ యు ఆర్ ఇన్ డీప్ జంగిల్, స్నేక్స్ ఆర్ కమింగ్ ఆర్ టైగర్స్ ఆర్ కమింగ్ ఆర్ ఎనీ అదర్ డేంజరస్ యానిమల్స్ ఆర్ ఈవెన్ మస్కిటోస్ ఎట్సెట్రా. ప్రశాంత విగత భీ వితౌట్ ఫియర్ బ్రహ్మచారి వ్రతే స్థిత. That means thinking only about God. And brahmacharya also means two things. Thinking about Brahman and not thinking about anything that distract us from being tempted. Brahmachari vrate sthita manas sanyamya. Trying to control all the time the mind. Controlling here means directing all thoughts towards one object. Machittaha. Firmly keeping all your thoughts centered in me. Yuktaha. This striving yogi, matparaha, me as the supreme goal, asita, he should sit striving to do all those things. And this is what we have to do every time we sit for meditation. And then what happens? Yunjan evam, thus striving, sada atmanam, all the time, niyata manasaha, keeping the thoughts firmly under control, yogi, this striving aspirant, what does he get? Shantim nirvana paramam mat samstham adigachati. He attains me. Mat samstha means he attained to my position. Means he becomes me, one with me. And this is called paramam nirvanam. This is the supreme state of extinction of all worldliness. And it is also called paramam shanti. The supreme bliss, supreme peace, which, what is supreme? Temporary peace means you keep your mind under control for a short time. It will give you temporary shanti. But if we attain to Brahman, then it is eternal shanti. This is called paramam. A person should reach God realization. For that, he has to practice meditation. And there is a way to practice meditation. Both the asana must be okay, our body must be okay, our mind also must be, these three. The asana rules about how to keep asana, how to keep our body straight, and how to keep our mind also under control. If a aspirant goes on striving, observing all the rules, regulations, so many other things, as instructed by the scripture or by the guru, then ultimately he attains me, and that is called the supreme nirvana. That is also called the supreme peace of mind. It is also called moksha or liberation. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum పాదపద్మే తయో శ్రిత్వా ప్రణమామి ముహుర్ముహుః. ఓం వసుదేవసుతం దేవం కంసచాణూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం.